Good morning. Good to see you today. We're thankful that we are able to be together. It's great to be home. Good to see you. I appreciate the prayers and concern for my health and also the work in India. I tell you, it's a little frustrating to go over there and then get sick again when you do everything that you know to do to avoid it. But sometimes that just happens. So I guess I just have to take my antibiotics and be ready. So. And keep doing what I can, but it's good to be a part of the work. We believe that we had some good opportunities and more doors were open, especially in the area of Tamil Nadu, where Brother Wallace is going primarily, and some additional opportunities I think are presented for him, and he'll be planning to return, I believe, and so I'll be planning a trip in the fall with Brother Mark Smith again, as we normally do. So it was good to be a part of that work, and always good to be home, and I appreciate you being here. As for the women falling left and right, it wouldn't have anything to do with the men that they live with, so I'll just leave that at that, and let them answer to that. Good to see you. Good to be with you. And let us spend our time now in considering some of the things that are introduced in the book of Hosea here, but is seen throughout the Word of God, and that is at times when people choose sin upon sin, when they become addicted to sin, when, as in the times of Hosea, it says that the more they increased, the more they sinned against me, that there seemed to be no ceasing, no stopping, no reflection as to what was going on, but sin upon sin increased, and God, of course, being sinned against, would eventually bring his punishment upon sin. The idea of addiction, of course, by the dictionary, says it's compulsive physiological or psychological need for a habit-forming substance. Now, the habit-forming substance we're talking about today is sin. But that we're talking about choices. We're talking about, we're not born an addict of anything. We choose. We make choices along the way. Decisions are made along the way to habitually or compulsively be occupied with or involved in something. That's true of cigarettes. That's true of alcohol. That's true of illicit drugs. That's true of sin. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, Peter said, "Of whom a man is overcome is the same as he also brought into bondage." When we are overcome, when we give ourselves over to the control from something else and control ourselves rather than be controlled in our heart through faith by the will of God, then we become slaves. We become slaves to whatever it is that we have chosen to be an addict to. You see, the addict repeatedly chooses the same behavior despite knowing the adverse consequences that are produced. The heroin addict may know that the heroin is bad, but has become addicted to it, has habitually chosen it to the point of reliance physiologically and psychologically. So it can, in some sort of a similar way, be said about sin, that we can so choose sin to a point where it becomes our manner of conduct, our habit, the choice that we repeatedly make, so that it becomes a numbing effect upon our conscience and a part of who we are, of course, to the detriment of our souls, because these are choices that we make, even though we know sin is wrong. Even though we know sin causes spiritual death, that it's against God. The temptations are strong. And the choices, if yielded to, can present a habit in our lives that must be broken if we're going to repent, if we're going to be righteous before God. Denial is often a trait of the addict. The alcoholic, how often do we hear the alcoholic say, "I'm not addicted," or or the one who is addicted to nicotine, I can stop smoking anytime I want. I've stopped 10 times. You know. The person who is addicted to pornography in a similar way, thinking that it's not controlled, and in fact that is being controlled by that outside influence that we choose to receive into our minds or into our bodies. We make the choice. We become dependent, as it were, upon it. Not that we need it, not that we should have it, because of the adverse effects upon us and the harm that it does to us, but we become addicted. Is that so with drugs? It can be so with sin. And you see, it's not beyond with your ability to stop and to begin to make a choice through hard work, sacrifice, a change of heart and life does occur. That's true. Praise God. All who come to Him freed from the slavery. To make different choices and then to become addicts of righteousness rather than addicted to sin. That's what we want to study this morning. That's what we want to again remind ourselves of the effect of sin upon our lives and souls, and that we can make different choices, and the gospel compels us, calls us, and gives us incentive to make different choices and to not be addicted to the things that destroy our lives and destroy our souls, to be addicted to the things that are righteous before God. Romans 1 and verse 29, spare a moment by reminding ourselves of what's said there, that sin is by its very nature addicting. When we give ourselves over to it, it ends up talking. And we live they became filled with righteousness, so that it became a part of who they were and sin sacrifice. Sin becomes who we are when we give ourselves over to practice of it, when we give our hearts over to it. Of course, sin. The Bible definition of sin, transgression of God's law, John 3 and verse 4, all unrighteousness, John 5, 17. Our conscience is a sin, Romans 14, 23. It's lawlessness, acting without God's approval, without God's approval. Violating righteousness and truth is sin, and it's a habit for us. See, when we turn our heart away from God. In Isaiah 30 and verse 1, we're going to read some of the verses through the Old Testament. Do that. Nature of sin and what sin does. It says, "Those are rebellious children," says the Lord, Isaiah 30 and verse 1, "who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Adding sin to sin. Sin multiplies when it is left unchecked. When we do not stop it, we give it free reign, it will continue. And it will multiply. You know, we think otherwise. This is the attitude that I can stop with this substance. I want to increase my integrity. It won't continue. The addict is in denial. Sin can cause us to be in denial. Denial of sin controlling us because we choose it. And we make that choice repeatedly. Please do not misunderstand that we're saying here this morning that sin is something that we cannot control. We can. We make choices about it. Just as the addict can make choices to no longer be addicted to a substance, we can choose to no longer be addicted to sin, but when it is left unchecked, it runs rampant. It finds a foothold, it grows, it expands, it overtakes, it consumes. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 3, for example, we'll be getting to this in our study of Jeremiah. It says, "And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They say, and they do not know me, says the Lord." To just proceed from one evil to the next, unchecked by a fear of God, sin is of that nature. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, speaks of it when Paul warned of evil men who would grow worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's little doubt that from God's point of view and from the point of view He wants us to have, sin is a very powerful thing. It finds its way into our heart, and if we allow it to have a foothold and not address it in God's way, it begins to take us over. We begin to make that our habit, and you see, it becomes what our life is about. Can fill us up. We can become filled up practicing sin. 2 Peter 2.14 describes this. 2 Peter 2.14 says, he speaks of men who, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Now, he's not speaking of the impossibility of stopping sin, but because their eyes were given totally to corruption, to lustful desire, there was no stopping. There was no ceasing from sin. All is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We understand how, from God's Word, how sin works, how its temptations are set before us, the lust of the flesh. Sensual satisfactions, habitually fulfilling the desires of the flesh, becomes a habit that destroys the soul, that destroys the life. It becomes an addicting aspect. Even though we know the consequences at birth, even though we know it's harmful, it's hurtful to our souls and the people we love and those around us, we become consumed by it because, you see, we have allowed it to find its place in our heart and the desire to drive us rather than godly fear. Lust of the eyes, in a similar way, to covet that which we see, to have such a fixation on the things of the world that those become our drive, our intent, our purpose, rather than godliness. The pride of life is essentially the elevation of self. It is selfishness. And when we allow self to fuel our decisions, pride elevates itself within us, and we're blinded by pride very often. And so we become addicted. That is because we've set the habit. Sin is habit forming. We start choosing it. It becomes habit forming. It becomes the way that we live. And of course it destroys us. You see, sin rules over those who live in it. The Bible talks about sin ruling, being the slave master. And we, its slaves, we, its subjects. In Romans 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You see, before our conversion to Christ, we were slaves of sin. Sin ruled us. Sin directed us. We made choices that had sin as our master. But now, we do not let sin reign in our mortal bodies, that we should obey it in its lust, verse 12. See, again, the choice, the decision, an addiction can be changed. Habit-forming conduct can change. And so it is with sin. We can choose to not let sin rule us. We can make different choices. The gospel compels us. The gospel calls us to do that. In chapter 7 of Romans 23-25, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Here's Paul describing himself being ruled and controlled by the flesh because of sin, making choices that were death to him. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God can deliver you from this body of death, from the habit of sin, from the rule of sin in your life, to no longer let it be your addiction. The slaves of whom we obey, Romans 6:16, aren't we? So, you see, again we emphasize we become addicted to sin by choice and by practice. No one has the right to say, I can't help it. No one has the right to say, I can't help it, that I'm this way, I was born this way, I was made this way, I can't help it, don't condemn me, this is who I am. No one has the right to say that when it comes to sin and righteousness in the will of God. Romans 1:28. No, you see, the Bible says that even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you see, somebody makes a choice, they don't want to listen to God. They don't want God in their knowledge, in their thinking. They don't want to hear what God says. God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things that are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. You see, we become addicted to sin when we choose not to have God in our heart, when we choose not to have faith in Him, when we choose instead to practice what is against God. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and strife and deceit, evil-mindedness, they're whisperers and backbiters, haters of God and violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things and disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. These are choices. Who, knowing the judgment, the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And here's the denial aspect of addiction. Many times those who practice these things know they deserve death, know God's judgment, but they keep doing it. Why? Why? Because they refuse to have God in their heart. Verse 28. They have refused God. That's why someone becomes addicted to sin. They've refused God. Now, it may be hard for us to swallow, but that's the reality. That's what it is. When we give ourselves to the habit of sin, it's because we've also chosen not to have God. We've made that choice. And that choice has to change if sin is no longer going to rule over us. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, you were made alive when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. See, God made us spiritually alive, but we were dead in trespasses and sins because sin was our habit. Everyone before conversion to Jesus, he says, you once walked according to the course of this world. You lived according to the prince of the power of the Spirit, who now works in sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest, or just as the others. By nature, that is, by the habit that we chose, by the choices we made, and the practice of the way that we lived, we were children of wrath. Darkened in our thinking. Ephesians 4:17-19. But note there also, these who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Oh, there was a choice that was made. There was a decision to give oneself over to to sin. And now the gospel says, give yourself over to God. Give your heart over to Him. You want to break the cycle of sin? You want to break the pain of the addiction to sin? Then give yourself over to God, because right now you're giving yourself over to lewdness. You're giving yourself over to iniquity. You're giving yourself over to be an addict to that which destroys you. And so, sin is addicting. And what we need to do is become addicted to righteousness. Just as surely as we can set a habit of sin, we can set a habit of righteousness. That's what the gospel empowers us to do, enables us to do, shows us how to do, and through the grace of God accomplish as we live in faith. Romans 6:16-22. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. You can make a change. You can become a servant of righteousness. You can be an addict of what is right. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. Here's how you do it. You obey from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You now obey the pattern of righteousness God gave you in His gospel. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. That's what we're trying to do this morning. We're trying to speak in human terms. We talk about addiction. We hear about addiction. We're trying to speak in those terms and say, don't you see that when we choose sin, we're an addict to sin? And if we'll choose righteousness, then we're an addict of righteousness. And that's the good thing. He says, just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more unlawlessness, you see, sin upon sin, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness or holiness. Now, present yourself to God to obey Him and bear the fruit of holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. You were separated from righteousness when you served sin. What fruit do you have then? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? What was the benefit of that addiction to sin? What was the fruit? Nothing good. Nothing good. Only harm and hurt. Well, the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, see, the gospel sets us free, but they had to choose to live in that freedom. Having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. The gospel calls us to be addicts, all right? To be addicted to righteousness, to make that our choice in our practice. Let's talk for a minute about the fact that the addiction to sin can be broken. We've already seen that in Romans 6. I want you to note it again in Titus 3. In Titus 3. And there's, of course, other verses that would say the same sort of thing. Titus 3, though, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. We were serving the lusts and pleasures. We were addicted to those lusts. We were compelled by those pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Oh yes, we've been addicted to sin. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm confidently that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. God's love has offered us a Savior. God's grace has provided redemption. And in faith we respond to that offer of redemption. We in faith have obeyed His gospel. We've been regenerated, born again, the washing of regeneration, the renewal that comes through the gospel the Spirit has given us. We've been born again. Now we are to be careful to maintain good works. You see, the addiction to sin is broken by the gospel. as we continue to live in faith and bear the fruit of righteousness. To break sin's addiction, there must be a full conversion to Christ, and that means the heart has to change. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 and verse 1 says. Christ is the one who frees us from the body of death, the death of sin. Frees us from the slavery of sin and its addiction. But you see, we have to be converted by a genuine repentance on our part. The wasteful son of Luke 15, the prodigal, who wasted his blessing of inheritance on sinful and riotous living, came to himself. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll rise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. You want to break the addiction of sin in your life? Then with genuine humility and genuine repentance of heart, you turn back to the Father. You empty yourself of the pride that sin generates and that sin builds up within you. You let go of that, and in humility you come to God and say, I'm not worthy. I've sinned against you, Father. Show me the mercy of just letting me be a servant in your house. You see, the power of the gospel will make that change. Conversion to Christ will break the addiction to sin. If you're struggling with sin in your life, and you know it's wrong, and you know you shouldn't make those choices, but you keep making those choices, the gospel says, break those choices by changing your heart, by renewing a commitment, a firm resolution that my mind is going to be set on God and His will and not on the things that make God cry, that hurt God to the heart, and that destroy my soul. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 describes some horrible sins. And yet the hope of the gospel is that such were some of you. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Here's the hope of the gospel. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In Corinth, in Acts 18:8, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. They were converted by the power of the gospel because their hearts were changed by its message. One will never break the addiction of sin until they fall on their knees before the reality that the Son of God died on a cross so I could live. He died because I deserved death, but He died as a sacrifice for my sin. If I am never able to grasp that fundamental point of the gospel, I'll continue the habit of sin in my life. But once I grasp that, once I understand that, once I know it is real, that God is real, Jesus is real, His death is real, His resurrection and ascension is real, then a conversion of my heart enables the breaking of that slavery to sin to become a slave of righteousness. Repentance is at the core of it. The heart must first be given to the Lord. If you're going to break sin's addiction, you must also end every association with the people and the places and the triggers and the temptations of sin. Why don't they have AA meetings at the bar? We know why. You got to remove yourself from the sources of the sin. You got to sacrifice. You got to see how destructive it is, and you got to stop it in these very specific ways. In Matthew 5, 29 and 30, Jesus taught this. This is not some new message. It didn't start with AA, that's for sure. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Or even more profitable for you that one of your members perish, that your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It was more profitable to you that one of your members perish than that your whole body be cast into hell. Now Jesus uses a figure of speech. He's not telling you literally to get out the hatchet and cut off your hand, pluck out your eye with a hot rod. He's saying you're going to have to remove every snare of sin. You're going to have to sever every connection that you have that would draw you into the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eye, or the pride of life, that would keep you in the habit of sinning against your God. Why do people have trouble? Why do people fall back into sin? At least in part because, you see, they haven't given their heart fully to God, and they've just stayed with the associations that brought them into their sin in the first place. There has to be a cutting off of that. But nobody's going to do that unless they're first fully committed to God. You're not going to do it. You may do it for a while. You may do it for people to see you for a while. But you're not going to cut those associations with sin if you haven't first had a heart fully converted to Jesus. But when your heart's fully converted to Jesus, then you understand and know how these associations and connections with the temptations of sin, how they can so easily draw you back into sinning against your God. The Bible, the Gospel says to put sin to death. Colossians 3:5. What we put it to death is we remove the opportunities. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Romans 13:14. Don't make provision. You see, that's the provision. We think we can repent of sin, but we can just go about and make no corrections, not bear fruit. Bearing the fruit of repentance means if I'm addicted to pornography, then I turn the computer off. I remove the source. I change my heart, and then I practically stop those things that would cause and lead me into sin in making those sinful choices. It can cause you. We make choices. So if you choose to not be addicted to sin, then you're going to choose to remove the things that trigger the addiction, that trigger the choices. Flee youthful lusts. Bear the fruit of repentance. You see? Evil companionship corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived. If your friends lead you into sin, get new friends. See, flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22 says. Flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. How many times does someone say, oh, that won't happen to me. Oh, I can handle that situation. Oh, I was with them in the past, but now... those associations have no effect upon me. You're lying to yourself. And you're lying to those who love you. To think that you can keep the associations of sin when Jesus says you can't. Jesus says, you think you can stand? Better be careful, you're about to fall. When Jesus says, cut it off, remove it. When he says, put sin to death, make no provision. But you want to walk the line. You want to keep the friends. You want to keep the association. You want to keep that relationship because it's so important to you. So how important is Jesus? How important is righteousness? You see, a choice has to be made. And the devil's working hard to blur the line. He's working real hard so that we don't see clearly about things that are really clear in such matters. You see, we're to bear the image of Christ. We're to have the moral likeness of Jesus, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Put off the old man that is doing and put on the new man that's created in the image of and knowledge of God in Christ. We're to bear his moral likeness. And that means we have to end everything that would destroy that likeness, that would pervert and blur that likeness. We can break sin's addiction through the power of the gospel, through the power of faith and the grace of God. And we will follow God's instructions on how to do it. His Word teaches us if we'll yield to it. And then we need to become addicted to righteousness. We need to establish new habits. Establish new habits. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." He says that you establish new habits. You see, you now develop and live a new way. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, as Paul had already talked about this, the darkness that we come out of through the gospel, he says, "Now put off concerning your former conduct the old man," Ephesians 4, 22, "which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man that was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, become the new man in Christ by setting your heart and filling your life with the Word of God, with the will of God, with spiritual growth and development. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control patience, and patience godly, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. And if these things are yours and abound, then make you to be not idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. But he who lacks these things is blind, having forgotten his cleansing from his old sin. We forget our cleansing. We're tempted to go back. He says you set the pattern, you set the new habits. You grow in Christ. You put away the hindrances. You see them for what they are, stumbling blocks, hindrances that will keep you from spiritual maturity and salvation in Jesus. Set the pattern to be addicted to righteousness. One way you can do that is to allow those who love you to hold you accountable. We need to be held accountable. We need to be able to allow others to hold us accountable. Those who love us, those who care for us, those who have our soul's interest at heart. Allow our elders to hold you accountable. That's their work. Allow your husband, your wife who is in the faith, hold you accountable. Your children, your parents, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, be held accountable. What I mean by that is, what does the AA do? They have a sponsor, don't they? They have somebody they can call when they feel like they're about to fall off the wagon. Someone who will encourage them, someone who will exhort them, someone who will help them specifically in the situation. We need to allow that among ourselves. We need to be willing to accept that others want us to go to heaven. They want our spiritual salvation. They want to help us and accept it. Confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Restore one who's fallen. He says, you are spirit to restore one who's overtaken in a trespass, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Not only is that our responsibility that we want to help, but we've got to be willing to accept it. And if we're wanting to overcome sin and establish righteousness, we must be willing to accept the help of our brethren to do that very thing. Be willing to be held accountable. Ask for it. Desire it. Benefit from it. You see, God has arranged His church in just that way, so that we're helping one another avoid sin and live in holiness. Children of wrath become children of God when they choose to obey God in faith and deny sin. That's the call of the gospel. The gospel calls us to no longer have a habit of sin, but a habit of righteousness. God is ready to save you. He's ready to help you if you have been struggling with sin. You've made it your habit, you made it your choice, you made it your practice, and you're its slave. You can change that through the power of God. God will change that through the power of His truth, His gospel, His love, His righteousness in the gospel of Jesus. if you will allow him to do so, if you'll make the choices as well. You see, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will be unto you a father, and you'll be to me sons and daughters, says the Lord. And so Paul says, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfect holiness. Be an addict of righteousness and not an addict to sin. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Find the rest of the gospel that Jesus gives. Choose to practice godliness by faith following His Word. Give up every sin. Be converted to Jesus. Give your heart to Him totally in your life that follows. If we can help you accomplish that, to become a Christian today, to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we hope that you'll respond to God's call now to become a servant of righteousness and no longer serve sin, to be saved in the Savior, or as God's people. If you struggle with sin, know that the way of salvation is still in Jesus. The way of hope, the way of resolution of that anguish and that turmoil is to repent, confess to God in prayer, and to become a servant of righteousness. If we can accomplish and help you accomplish that through the power of the gospel, won't you come while we stand and we sing?